World of Warcraft is one of the most popular MMORPGs of all time and has existed for 14 years. It's currently in its 7th expansion, but the switch from its previous expansion, Legion, exposed a lot of underlying problems with class balance and the feel of the game. I'm here with Justin.
Hi.
And Clark.
Hello.
To talk about Mythic Plus and raid class balance and overall class feel. And the first point is shamans, because nobody likes shamans except for Clark.
That's true. Yeah, Blizzard tends to, there's a number of classes that kind of become jokes because of, which ones get the most attention. And historically, of the classes you might think of when you're playing the game, like Mage and Warrior and Rogue, like the very, like, quintessential fantasy archetypes of classes, almost tend to be, maybe because they're more appealing to the average player, or maybe because Blizzard tries to appeal to the average casual gamer as well as the average quote-unquote hardcore gamer. But for a large number of reasons, historically shamans are, if they're not providing the proper damage that their team needs or utility that their team needs, I would say that over time Blizzard has tended to ignore some of these problems and focus their balancing on other classes that tend to be more popular in the first place.
Yeah. The first, like, some of the main classes that have issues in Battle for Azeroth, or the current expansion BFA, are definitely probably Shadow Priest, all Shaman Specs, and Feral Druid, and Guardian Druid. Those are probably the biggest problem childs. And hopefully the next patch will fix at least a couple of them. But currently you only see certain classes, and there's a lot of overlap. So in dungeons you see a lot of Subtlety Rogue, you see a lot of Assassination Rogue, you see a lot of Resto Druids, a lot of Blood DKs, a lot of Demon Hunters, and there's not really much else.
You've got your Druids and your Mages and your Warlocks. There are definitely casters who appear as well, but they're usually there for their utility and then their ability to keep up with the melee DPS. But because these melee DPS tend to be so strong, there's a lot of casters who may not have the utility of other casters, who can't keep up, who are just unviable, which we could talk about that word in a little while too. And there are also people who like melees, like for instance the Enhancement Shaman, which cannot keep up with other melees, even though it might have better utility than some of them, just because that slot is kind of reserved for a high damage dealer like a Rogue or a Demon Hunter.
It's melee damage and everything gets super outclassed by other stuff that can pull either more damage or have just better overall utility.
Yep.
Rogue is a really good example of it because they have Faint, Cloak of Shadows, and Shroud and everything like that.
Yeah, so we can skip a lot of trash mobs and stuff.
And achieve a lot of mechanics.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I guess we can talk about the word unviable now.
Yeah, that's true. Shaman's an example of that. One of the struggles with the game is that sometimes new builds or new ways of playing different classes or different specializations within the classes, sometimes those might come to light after a balance patch has already happened. And we kind of get to be in this like no man's land where if someone decides that like the DPS monk spec Windwalker, if someone decided that their damage isn't up to snuff and they also don't provide the utility, then no one's going to play them at a high level. But sometimes you get people who really commit to a class and really want it to shine even at a higher level. Since the primary player PvE content in the game right now is Mythic Plus Dungeons, which theoretically scale infinitely up in difficulty, you really need to be bringing what is considered to be the best classes, and the meta definitely dictates that. There's definitely better players who kind of go through and play all the classes and or to some extent test them and figure out what's strongest together, which really leaves a lot of like quote unquote lower tier classes kind of by the wayside, and then other players who see them as almost like influencers won't allow people who play the classes they deem unviable into their groups, even if they're doing easier content.
Yeah. It's kind of the same problem with like every competitive game or multiplayer game, I guess, where certain things are always going to be better, certain things are going to be more popular, and a lot of that is popularized through streamers. And obviously lots of people watch streamers, and they influence everybody. People only play certain things, and then everything else is laughed at. To the point where, like, in certain competitive games, like Super Smash Bros. Melee, for instance, you won't see anything but, like, the top 8 characters in top 8 players.
Even though there's how many characters in that game?
There's, like, 26. Like, pretty much 12 of them are viable, and the rest just aren't. Like, you just can't play them, unless you're playing really bad players or you're pretty much trolling. Like,
I know, like, me personally, with the exception of Clark, if I'm making, like, a pug group for a mythic key, I'm not even going to look at a feral druid or any shaman spec, honestly. Like, it just... I won't look at them because 9 times out of 10, they're just not going to be viable to bring.
It's also about mindset, too. If you have players that are willing to re-roll, so to like change their class to one of the things that is a meta class, they already kind of have more of a progression mindset. So you already kind of know that, oh, this guy's playing a rogue, or oh, this guy's playing a survival hunter. There's a lot of classes that bring a lot more to the table right now that might not next patch because they're too strong. And that's, along with viability, that's the scary part, because you could be playing the class that's on top right now, which usually means going into the next raid tier or the next patch where they kind of fix and do balance changes, you're going to have issues where I'm playing an arms warrior and life's great. And then they decide that they're going to just flat nerf your damage and not necessarily, like, yeah, not necessarily give you anything in exchange for it.
Yeah. I figure this is a good time to just kind of like go down the class list and say everything that we don't think is viable.
Okay.
So blood decay is definitely disgusting.
Sure.
Not okay. Start... Unholy does crazy AoE, but eh.
Overall, I mean, I wouldn't say Unholy is viable, honestly.
There's some ways to make it work.
It's just so niche. It kind of goes to Shaman, where it's like, unless the player is insane, Shaman's not viable.
And passing right by blood decay too. Blood decay has been, for the entire expansion and last expansion for most of it, the best tank for this infinite scaling content, these mythic pluses. So it's like there's not really room for a lot of other classes because there's only 6-7 tank specs.
Let's see, there's 6. Blood, there's Vengeance, there's Bear, there's Brewmaster, there's Pally.
Prot and Prot, yeah.
No, 7. So, 6. Yeah.
So, once one of them is, like, eons above the others, there are players who will play that class, Blood Decay in this case, and they'll say, this is great, life's great. But then, you have so many other players who maybe are playing Protection Warriors or especially Guardian Druids. Like, who wouldn't just want to be a bear and just swipe everything, right? But
yep.
they just can't line up because they don't do the damage. I guess the issue is
there's no redeeming factor for them.
Right.
Like, they don't survive well. They don't do damage to make up for their lack of survivability. It's just...
But I think one of the biggest issues is currently that BFA is built off of the like skeleton of Legion, so to speak, where in Legion you had the artifact weapons, which like filled a lot of holes in certain classes. Like Druid was like Guardian Druid, the bear. That class wasn't okay. Like in Nighthold, there was no tank that wasn't a bear, and if there was, you were trolling.
Yep.
And it was so good that they nerfed, they increased the cost of their main mitigation ability, which is Iron Fur, by like 10, which is insane. And then they also removed the magic mitigation they had. And the problem with BFA is that most classes were balanced like that during Legion, where they just had certain things removed, nerfed, or just kind of changed in general.
Yep.
But they received nothing in BFA, so those classes were only good during Legion.
What's really sad about the nature of the game is that, as you said, Jake, this game's been around for 14 years, and gone through 7 expansions, and we continue to see this cycle of life for classes where balance is never quite right, and that always hurts what everyone wants to play ultimately, because a lot of players who have a certain class that feels great, like Justin really enjoys Blood DK and Havoc Demon Hunter, among other things. Jake really loves Fury Warrior and Shadow Priest when they're in the right iteration, but because we can't rely on Blizzard to keep consistent with these classes, you're going to have what you see with the Guardian Druid, where just 3 tiers ago, they were the leader of the pack, and now they're still like this 3-tier, at least 4-tier, until they get the buffs they need to become viable again. Or if you're lucky, put on top, and if you play it for that period of time, that's great, but eventually you're just going to get nerfed into the ground again. So it's almost like there's like an exercise that people do where they run as a group, and whenever someone, like, you have to keep up pace with the group, but like the person in the back of the group eventually has to, like, they have to kick up the pace to like get to the front of the group, and then after they hit the front, hit their stride, the next person in the back of the group has to like catch up to the front of the group. You kind of see this pattern revolving where top tier DPS gets nerfed into middle of the pack, if not lower, and then takes that time to get back to the top again.
Meanwhile, there's an affliction lock somewhere in there.
It's true. There are some classes that Blizzard shows so much more attention to.
They love warlocks. Yep. They love paladins. They love druids, for the most part. Yep.
And then you have affliction lock. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead, Jack.
Affliction lock last expansion. At the start of the expansion, it was terrible. And the same thing happened where it was bad, and they buffed it, and they overbuffed it due to the, like, with the artifacts and everything. And they overscaled, and pretty much the way affliction worked is it would do damage over time, so it hit multiple targets with the same ability. So its damage was essentially infinitely scaling. And it also, its main filler ability, because it would put up dots and then it would just drain soul. And drain soul was one of the funniest things ever, because it made the class pretty much invincible. And they did a ton of damage. So there was no reason to not bring them, because their single target was nutty, their AoE was nutty, their survivability was nutty. Like, everything about the class was disgusting.
And they still bring the best utility of any class into your dungeons, into your raids. Like, you need at least one for a raid. You should have one for a dungeon if you can.
It's been pretty much 2 years exactly since Affliction became good, and it's still, like, top 3 DPS. Yep. Like, it's not going anywhere right now.
As of right now, it is the best Warlock spec, and it is top 5 DPS. Yep.
And there's no foreseeing of any kind of nerfs or anything like that coming either.
Nope. Remember when they nerfed it by 3% last expansion, and it did more damage?
It got stronger. Like, that's actually when I started playing it, which is, I don't know what that says about me, but
I mean, I don't think it's bad to play Flavor of the Month. I just think you're, like,
that's what I do.
I don't know. If you're one of those people who plays a class and says, oh, I only play this because I like it, Zafon.
I envy
you.
I really envy
you can
that.
Only progress so far, though. Like, if you want a progression mindset where you want to just, like, hit that super high level, you kind of are almost forced to play Flavor of the Month to meet standards.
And that's the exact flaw, yep.
Mm-hmm.
And when we say, like, unviable, you can pretty much play any, like, if you have the team willing to build around it, and you have the knowledge, and you know what to do, you can play pretty much everything to a very high level. But the problem is that no matter how good you are at a class, they have their limits. Like, you can only do so much with them. And the other classes will outscale you eventually. So in content like Mythic Plus, where it just scales infinitely, the things that have utility and the things that are just, like, on paper better than your spec, they're just going to be better. You can't do anything about it.
In Mythic Plus specifically, if you, like, min-max a Guardian Druid and you play it absolutely perfectly, you will be nowhere near comparable to if you, like, min-max the Blood DK perfectly. Like, it would be an astronomical gap between the two of them.
Yep. And the issue is when the average player is playing what they call a mythic dungeon, but then these, like, top 1.1% of players are playing these, like, mythic dungeons that are, at the time of this recording, a +22 just got done last week. which means that the boss is 22 times stronger than what a mythic boss is, which is mind-boggling to me, that someone's even getting that high. But if those five people in that group were not playing the best classes for that specific dungeon, for that specific level of content, it would not have happened.
Well, what is it? Every key over like a 15 or so always has like a blood DK. It always has a rogue. 9 times out of 10, it'll have a warlock. Yep. And then that one more DPS is like kind of a filler, but it's usually kind of geared more towards a mage or maybe a boomkin.
Yep.
I have a fun game. Let's take a guess how many blood DKs are in the first 20 people on Raider.io.
19.
I would say 13.
18.
Oh my gosh.
Like,
yep.
And by the way, almost all of the deep, like, the DPS, like, it's almost always Assassination, Demon Hunter, Fire Mage.
Yep.
Every single one of these groups has a rogue in it, and that's just insane. And they're almost always Assassination, unless you're doing Shrine of the Storm, in which case, oh, there's a 23 done in time. Oh, wait, no, it's depleted, my bad. It was Mother Load.
Ooh, that's a rough dungeon.
The issue you also have, and we touched on this, I do want to go back to us talking through all the specs again, because we kind of completely devolved from that, but I think you have the same issue with that you have with tanks with healers, because there's so few of them in the game. Just that if they aren't putting out the healing output to be able to kill the bosses that are hitting very hard, and on some weeks kill the trash mobs, that everything leading up to the boss that is hitting really hard as well, then you just don't bring them along. It's just people just get denied seats. And again, I have to stress, like, none of us are playing at this level. We do watch the people who are, but because of those and because of other people like us who watch the people who are, I mean, we even perpetuate this, as Justin said, people getting invited to your group, it's just assumed that they're not trying if they're playing a class that isn't in the top. Like, DPS is a little more flexible, as you said. Like, you kind of have a slot where as long as they're bringing the numbers, it's fine. But if you don't have some form of rogue, mage, boomkin, demon hunter, like, the top six classes, you gotta have at least one or two of them.
Yeah.
And
there's six tanks, there's six healers, and there's what?
20 some DPS?
24 DPS.
Sounds right.
Spec.
And there's just not much point to bringing one of the less viable classes, because, I mean, in the time that two less viable classes would queue up to try and join us, we'll get, you know, 5, 6, 7 of, you know, exceptional DPS that are playing Flavor of the Month classes.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't touch on, we're still on DK. We didn't touch on Frost, which is kind of in a weird middle ground, because they're an insane raid spec.
But they're terrible at Mythic Plus.
Yeah, like, I think every, so you have these Mythic Progression guilds who are trying to complete the raids that get released 3 to 4 per expansion, trying to complete them as fast as possible. Each of them have at least one DK. The interesting thing is, with how good blood DKs have been for this past year, and this is Uldir that we're seeing the end of now, with how good blood DKs were in Mythic Dungeons, they were not really the best in raids, which is kind of interesting.
Pretty garbage.
Yeah, other than like one or two bosses, honestly, they're not really good at all for raid.
Which, to the point that, like, we made earlier, it's like, it kind of sucks that there's people out there who are like, I love the class fantasy of Blood DK ever since it got released in the second expansion. It's just been my favorite class ever, and we know people like that. And they get punished, or you mentioned the Affliction Warlock, Siphon. Like, you get punished because people expect that since you're playing this insanely good class at the time, you can also get denied groups if you're not playing a good class well. So it hurts these people who are like, I love the class fantasy. I love being able to walk up to people and, like, have bones floating around me and drain people's blood. Like, there's something cool about that that is denied when you have to make this decision. It's like, okay, I'm a good player and I like playing this class, but I don't want to give it up just to play the best class and progress more.
Yep.
So balancing kind of hurts that as well, the way, at least the way Blizzard has done it. I do believe there is a healthy way of doing it, but how do you guys feel about Warriors?
Okay. I have a lot to say about Warrior. I came from playing one of the fastest specs in the game, Shadow Priest, to that class got destroyed and nerfed into the ground. It just isn't fun to play anymore, so I had to find something new. And Fury Warrior became the new fastest spec in the game. It's pretty much you're just a train with swords, nothing stopping you. But like at the start of the expansion, if you weren't playing ARMS, you were trolling. And I played Fury, so I was trolling pretty much. And Prot Warriors just no, like there's no reason for anything that is currently happening with Prot. Prot Warrior is one of the dumbest specs I've ever seen in my life. It can't, in its current state, it can't be good. It can't be good at anything because it does so much damage. If you take if a prot warrior has good mitigation, you take it into Mythic Plus, it'll beat all your DPS on trash. Mm-hmm. It just can't function.
But we're in a point in the game that's so interesting that I think also because something we should note is we going into Battle for Azeroth, we experienced a stat squish, and this kind of indirectly affects warriors because one of the things that melees have against casters is that they are, in general, not as stat-reliant as they are. So as we get better gear, as an expansion moves forward and we get new updates with better things to equip that give us our characters more power, casters will get stronger exponentially and melees will kind of get stronger. I'm already strong, so I'm not really going to move up the chain a little bit, right? This kind of hurts Prot Warrior because even though they can really bring it on the damage, they don't really have a lot of survivability, so they're not really worth taking because your healers are not yet well equipped to make up for that miscoming.
And that kind of brings it even back to Blood DK being flavor of the month, because on certain pulls, Blood DK can pull equivalent, if not more, damage than a warrior while being literally invincible.
Completely self-sufficient. That's the main thing.
Like, yeah.
That allows you to take a more utility-based healer, like maybe a druid or someone who's better at spot healing your team or helping
you. Disc priest to do like the damage. Because,
yep.
I mean, you guys have seen it in the past. I walk into a gigantic pack of like 15-plus mobs. I press Bone Storm and my healer doesn't have to touch me for a solid 10 seconds.
Yep.
And you hit like 70k HPS.
Yeah, like as well as what, like 40, 50, even higher on bigger packs damage,
yep.
You know?
It's disgusting.
Yep.
It should be noted that because we've mentioned Affliction Lock and Blood DK as two of these powerful classes across tiers, last expansion there were people running the highest Mythic Plus content as normally you run a tank, a healer, and 3 DPS. People were running a Blood Death Knight and 4 Affliction Warlocks because those classes are all non-healers that can heal themselves more than a healer can.
Yep. Mm-hmm. It was just, like, literally, it was just Drain Soul, because they could just press Drain Soul, and it would heal them for, like, what was it, like, 800% of whatever damage it dealt?
Not to mention having the opportunity for 3 defensive cooldowns and a self-created potion.
Yeah, a passive 20% shield on your health as well.
Yes. It's, yeah. So for a class like that to also be leading in DPS, which... One of the points I wanted to bring up too, and it's true of Death Knight, it's true of Warlock, it's true of Warrior. You have these classes that have more than one damage specialization within the class, which can sometimes hurt. Shaman's an example of this too, obviously, where sometimes the class identity is not really different enough to give you a reason to play one over the other, unless the one is doing more damage. So an example of this is with Warriors, right? Like Jake, you mentioned Fury for the longest time could not keep up with ARMS. So even though you enjoyed the play style of Fury, we're coming back to that, like, viable, inviable versus how much do you like a specialization. Warlock's an example, and you have a couple of classes, Hunter, Rogue, Mage, who are all three of their specializations are damage. And if you're not playing the best specialization for the content you're doing,
you're trolling.
You're trolling. Yes. People think you're not trying at all.
Cause I'm a pretty disgusting Fury Warrior. I can hit really huge numbers. You guys have seen it,
mm-hmm.
but I guarantee for like the first 2 months of the expansion, if I was Arms, I would have hit bigger numbers.
That's true. It's also an easier class too.
Yeah.
Yeah. There were multiple dungeons where you played Arms just for
I pressed three buttons, pulled 70k DPS, and instantly died because I pulled aggro. But
yeah,
three buttons and I pulled 70k.
Yeah. It's another thing that kind of affects class viability, like mages, for instance.
Let's talk about easy versus difficult classes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, I mean, Hunter's the biggest meme with easy classes, right? You just... Justin,
you keep
a
buff.
Do you want to tell us the Beast Mastery rotation?
The way you play Beast Mastery is you press a button that's just a buff to your damage. It's just a flat, you do more damage. And then you rotate between an ability and one other ability. It's a buff and then two buttons, basically.
Yeah.
You pretty much press four if you bind your key to four, and then you press 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 3, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 3, and that's the class. And you will pull top tier DPS. And it doesn't get better the more you optimize it, because there's
no optimization.
No, there's not much to optimize. And as the tier will go along, the more gear you get, you just get stronger and stronger. The end point to you is your gear.
Yeah.
Like, and anybody can pick up a Hunter.
On the opposite end of the spectrum, Feral Druid. Feral Druid is like the last true bleed class in the game. And bleeds are specifically different from dots, where bleeds have a mechanic called snapshotting. So in World of Warcraft, Justin talked about a damage buff, which just increases your damage. Makes your character more buff. That's why it's called a buff. And a snapshot, what it does is when you apply a bleed, which is just a physical damage over time effect, it basically takes a picture of your buffs. And whatever buffs you had, that bleed will have that damage buff. So like if you have a 20% damage buff when you apply Rake, for instance, that Rake will have 20% damage for the entire duration, even if the buff falls off your character. So Feral Druid essentially becomes maintaining buffs and tracking your bleeds, remembering which bleeds have which buffs, maintaining the buffs with the correct pandemic windows so that you don't overwrite any time on your buffs or your bleeds. And it's awful.
If it sounds complicated, it's because it is.
It's really hard to explain, and it's really hard to play. It was the only class in the game where after playing it for 2 hours, I had to take a break.
Yeah, there's also the level of balance for something like that, too. What do you guys think about like easy versus hard classes and how Blizzard uses them to... we mentioned like casual players versus non-casual players. Mm-hmm. Something like a Hunter or like a Demon Hunter being like slightly easier, what the appeal is to a new player. Like, do you think that it's like that's more attractive to a lot of the player base, so that's why they keep them easier?
I have no issue with easy classes because other games I've played have easier characters as well. Like League and Overwatch, for instance, like Brigitte, me brain dead, me shield bash, me kill everyone. But like, I do definitely feel like characters and like classes, things that are more difficult should have more tools. And the problem is that if you look at a Feral Druid, its only tool is Stampeding Roar. If you look at a Hunter, it has traps, it has CC that can work on any target pretty much. It has a defensive that lets it soak any attack pretty much. It has range, which is huge. It has so much utility. It has a Bloodlust, it has like so many things, and Feral Druid just hits things.
Easier classes that players use to kind of get into the game, they should be decent, but they shouldn't be the best.
Yeah.
Because they are like Hunter, for instance, right now. It's one of the highest DPSing specs, if not close to the top, you know? Like probably in the top five. And like I said, it's 3-4 buttons, and then you just brought it up. There's so much utility that comes along with it. But then you kind of look back to the state of Feral Druid right now, and it's by far the hardest class to play in the entire game. But you just don't get anything from it.
We should mention skill floors and skill ceilings. So when we refer to like a skill floor, it's kind of how good, well, both of them refer to how good you are at a class, but one of them is the barrier to entry, so to speak. So if someone picked up a Beast Mastery Hunter, as Justin said, the button, the rotation to do damage with your abilities is much easier than that of the Feral Druid. And so the skill floor is much lower. So we refer to that as like I said, barrier to entry. The skill ceiling is how good you have to be absolutely the best at that class. So if you, the skill ceiling on a Feral Druid is also very, very, very high because there's so much happening, so many moving parts, or as they say, it's, what is it? A pins in the air class or like a juggling, I forget what they call it.
Oh yeah.
Balls in the air. But then you look at, since there's only so much you can do with Beast Mastery Hunter, their skill ceiling is also quite low because if you put it in the hands of the best player in the game, they would probably still do about as much as someone who's like, I mean, maybe they've mythic raided before, but like they're just playing it because it's a good class. You could get into the class and play it pretty close to 100% optimally pretty quickly if you know what you're doing. So you have these skill floors and skill ceilings, which also apply to like talents, which are interesting. And how many talents are actives and passives. I would definitely want to talk about that for a little bit too.
Yeah. So ideally for me, the way I would balance the game is pretty much I would have a graph where it's like just a T-chart with four sections on it, right? There's a line going at a 40 to 5 degree angle through the whole thing. And pretty much on the right side is difficulty. On the top is, I guess, unsafeness. At the bottom is, like, on the opposite sides, there's, like, easy and there's safe. And I think that that line should represent damage, where as classes become unsafe and have less utility, the damage should go up. And that doesn't really happen. Because we talked about Affliction Lock. Affliction Lock was the safest and highest utility spec in the entire game, and it did the most damage. There was literally no reason to play anything else.
Yep.
It still is a really safe class. It's like it's relatively mobile.
It lost one of its primary tools. Actually, I think Blizzard has done a pretty good job of bringing it into its own without just completely giving it the Nerf Bat, which is something interesting to talk about. But the issue is they're still alienating players with a class like that because they changed it from a spreading diseases and spreading plagues class to a I can destroy one thing in a short burst period of time. And I can do okay AoE, but I'm mostly outscaled by basically everything in that department. So it gave it more of a niche and took away some of its safety while not putting it down to the middle. It's probably like, I mean, it's still top five, yes, but it's not far and away the best anymore, which is good.
Yes. On the flip side, Shadow Priest.
Yeah.
They turned it into a burst AoE spec. Can't do single target. The class feels terrible. They moved one of its baseline abilities that it's had since Vanilla, which was 14 years ago, onto a talent. Like,
the issue,
they just gutted it.
The issue with talents, too, to begin with, is that talents started in the beginning of the game as a tree that made you feel like you were getting more and more powerful as you leveled up. So it was great because during that leveling time, which there was a lot more time focused on, so like the game prioritized that level 1 to 60 grind before getting to end game content. So as you leveled up, it was a means to say like, oh, I've just increased my power by a measured percentage every time I've leveled up. So I can see how much my health increased. I can see how much my mana or my resource increased, my energy, whatever. But then I could also apply a skill point to a tree that said, this skill is now this much more efficient for this reason. We've gotten to a point now where that's been so oversaturated that our skill trees, we have a choice of 3 for 7 different tiers?
Yeah.
15, 30, 45, 60, 75, 90, 100. Yeah, 7.
So we went from making not infinitely many, but quite a large number of choices. And I will concede, there was always an optimal way of playing that. So when you got to end game, you should have a certain like build for your class. But there were always more than one build, too. So we're at a point now where you kind of switch out talents based on if you're fighting more than one thing at one time, or if you're fighting one thing at one time, if you need to be more defensive.
Kind of like back in, I think it was Wrath. I could be wrong. There was a very popular Warlock PvP build where you would go down the Affliction Tree, grab all the dots, you go down the Destruction Tree, grab all the dots, and go down the Demonology Tree and grab all the dots. And you would go into PvP and dot people and then fear them. And because fears required a certain damage threshold to break, they'd run around for like 18 seconds and just die. And they couldn't do anything.
Truly the Wild West.
But for the most part now, it's like your talents are, instead of being passive power gains, they're more of a decision where you essentially will like say, oh, I want to take this passive that gives my agony a percent chance to make my unstable affliction free. That's not in the game, but that's an example. Mm-hmm. Or I could take another dot, or I could take sometimes my unstable afflictions are just free randomly.
Yeah. And to be fair, one of the things we missed too is Blizzard has brought back examples of abilities that have been popular that might have gotten cut in the past. And since we're talking about Affliction Warlock, Nightfall is an example of one. The issue of with a talent like that is that since it's become purely a numbers thing, sure, you can, and this goes back to that debate about playing efficiently versus playing inefficiently. If you're playing Nightfall right now, as we've said, you're trolling because there's a much better talent choice in that same row and you can only take one. So when you're playing that optimal class, if you're not playing an optimal class optimally, you're still getting punished, right? So we still have these examples too. Jake, you mentioned the artifact weapons earlier and something from the previous expansion. We had these legendary weapons too, legendary gear. So you would sometimes, at a totally random chance from doing any of the things you could do in the game, questing, killing elite monsters, doing raiding, doing Mythic Plus, doing Mythic Dungeons. Most things you could do in the game had a chance of giving you one of these, I'd say, what is it, like 12 for a spec, potentially.
It changes based on the spec, yeah. But yeah, it's about 10.
Hyper rare pieces of gear that are totally personal loot, like you can't trade them, you can't sell them, with the exception of like a couple that are not that good. But because it was totally random, there was a flaw in that system too. The issue is, as we moved into the new tier, everyone had already kind of collected all of their legendaries if they were playing competitively. And when those are all taken away from a player, they lose a lot of class dynamic and class definition that BFA did not reapply to the classes.
So it was just a strict loss.
And some of those were applied to talents, which is good and bad because you still have access to them on the positive side. But on the negative side, the opportunity cost of having to take what was already free to you or didn't have a cost in the past, now you lose something that was also put into the talents tier that you wanted. So you're losing this class dynamic that was once so helpful to helping you choose your main class.
And a lot of the time, even though they moved it into a talent, you just don't take it because one of the other two options is just significantly better.
And the other thing is that a lot of times those legendaries were only good because they flowed well with other things that you didn't have to choose.
Yes.
So like, for instance, Clark played a lot of Fire Mage, and Fire Mage had, how it works is, it has really long cast time abilities that do a lot of damage, but by getting a lot of crits, which are just like coin flips essentially with the class, you can cast them instantly. So the class felt really cool because if you like built your class correctly, you could fix your character even though you were like essentially gambling. You would fix your character to get more crits and all that stuff. And one of the abilities that you had is called Fire Blast. You can cast it while casting other abilities and it always crits. So if you get one crit and you're casting something else, you can Fire Blast in the middle and then throw a Pyro Blast and kind of start like a chain reaction essentially. And the burst period for Fire Mage was so much fun. You want to talk about that, Clark, with Phoenix Flames?
Sure, yeah.
And Pyroclasm?
It was one of those DPS classes that kind of felt good no matter what content you were playing, which is awesome. If you're doing Mythic Plus, they were really good at hitting a lot of things at the same time, which is important to that type of content. Whereas with raids, most raid bosses are, they are on their own, and sometimes they call in minions and stuff. But Fire Mage was great because you could start off a fight by basically, lore-wise, creating this giant ignite on one target that would spread to other things, as you would expect a fire to do. One of the legendaries you got, and this is, again, a good and bad, because when you got the legendary, it felt great. If you didn't have it, you were trolling.
Or unlucky.
Or, well, sometimes both. But basically, to supplement these instant cast times, you would want to go really fast. The legendary that was really good for them allowed them to... So basically, you would sometimes get this... one of your abilities would proc. It was a passive that said whenever you would consume that like instant cast pyroblast, sometimes it would have a chance to make your next one that is hard cast, so one that's not being thrown instantly, one do 400% of the damage of your average one that you're throwing as part of your rotation. And what felt great about that was that that fire would hit the target and it would add to your ignite damage that was on that target. So you were still building up this giant fire on the thing. You would see your numbers shoot up in the damage per second meter on your screen, as you should so lovingly have as a DPS player. And it all just felt great. But as we moved into BFA, that talent specifically, that got moved to a talent. And because there is a better thing that we were already taking from the last tier that we had in addition to that legendary, we have the choice of taking that. Pyroclasm is what it is now. But we can't, because there's a better talent kind of locking it out from access.
So if you enjoyed that style of play, you technically could still play that and you could make it work. But strictly, you would be worse than someone who was not taking that.
Right.
Which is kind of just the story of BFA.
But what really is interesting, and to go kind of back to like class two, Fire Mage is an example of a class that Blizzard decided to pay attention to it. And for the past, they've definitely been buffed twice. They've also been changed a third time. It's debatable whether it was a buff or not. But Blizzard essentially decided to make Fire Mage a viable spec through the past couple balance patches. So even though that playstyle that you were used to, that a lot of people who used to play it liked, is not really viable. Again, there's that word again. They are currently, as of today, the best caster in a Mythic Raid setting. This is purely based on damage. Utility isn't really what we're like looking at when we look at that.
But they also have great utility.
They do have great utility as well, yes. And they have great survivability. A lot of things that are confusing, because it's a class that at the start of the expansion, they were so bad that they had to buff them, their damage by, it's been buffed about 20% now to put them close to the top. And they're still not the best class. They were that far behind. But yeah, so as an example, though, maybe we should talk about Frost Mage and Arcane Mage then, too, since that's one of those classes that has three damage specs and viability, mm-hmm. How they work.
Let's get some more input from Justin. Justin,
mm-hmm.
How would you feel if you had, on your blood DK, a passive effect that gave you 40% more healing on your Death Strike whenever you press Blood Boil twice?
It would be even more broken than it already is. Like, that would just, like, I don't, like, in the current state of the game, I would not need a healer. Like, we wouldn't have to go. We'd be able to go with just 4 DPS if that was a thing.
Justin didn't experience Legion, so he's never had the feeling of legendaries.
Yeah.
Which I kind of envy.
Yeah. The game would be so much more fun to me right now if I didn't know how much fun it used to be.
Yeah.
We're kind of at a point right now where we're waiting for the newest patch to come out, but it hasn't happened yet, and we've kind of been promised a lot of things that are taking forever to actually come to fruition. So,
yo, they're close to fixing Shadow Priest.
So far gone, though.
Before we talk more about Mage, I think we should address Windwalker from last expansion.
Sure.
So, Windwalkers, basically they were terrible for the entire expansion. Like, actually, like a month, like a year and like 5 months of the class being like a bottom two class, and by like a significant margin. If you were to look at like a site that aggregates all raid performance, Windwalker was pretty much about 12% behind the third lowest spec in every situation until the last raid. And then by doing two things, they made the class the literal best DP, like in terms of just raw damage, the best class in the game for raiding and Mythic Plus.
Mm-hmm.
They added one legendary, and they added in a 4-step bonus that basically just, what's the word? Synergized. They synergized with each other super well, and it, pretty much if the, in Legion, if your highest level Mythic Plus group wasn't a Blood DK and 4 Affliction Locks, it was 4 Windwalkers.
Yeah.
They would just press one ability, and they would, oh my god, Strike of the Windlord. It would just, they'd punch, and it would go in a line, but it would do, like, unreasonable amounts of damage.
We have this term about, like we have DPS, which is about how much damage you can do in a per second, obviously. So the higher that number, the more valuable you are to a group as a damage player. We have this other term, which is a global cooldown. And basically, after you've pressed an ability, affected by haste generally, but you have a certain amount of time you have to wait until you can press another ability. The issue with Windwalkers is how much damage they were able to do in such a short amount of global cooldowns. Because they would press these melee buttons that were cooldowns for them, but they did so much AoE damage with each of these globals that these trash packs that we've talked about with Mythic Plus just kind of went away. And they also had all their cooldowns up for most of the packs.
Generally, if you were hitting a single target, by the end of the expansion, when we're talking about this, people were hitting about 1.8 to 2 million DPS, so damage per second, on a single target. And that will go up as you bring in extra targets because you're hitting multiple things and it'll like add all that together. It wasn't uncommon to watch a Windwalker hit like five monsters, and within about 5 seconds hit like 26 million DPS.
Yep. Usually they would sustain like about 15 for the whole pack too, which is
yes
10 times that of the average single target DPS.
And that's five monsters. In Mythic Plus, you would probably pull like 45, 50 things together and then just kite them.
They were hitting hundreds of millions, yeah.
Yeah, you would regularly see Windwalkers just hit 200 million DPS in Mythic Plus.
Easy.
And since then, they've had their time in the limelight. They spiked so hard, they rubber banded so fast that now they've snapped back the other way. Blizzard was like, we don't want them to be doing that. And again, they're an example of a class that, to be fair, is not at the bottom of the pack, but it's, compared to the other melees you can bring, not nearly as good.
They're decent, but you don't really see many people playing them anymore.
Nope.
Like, it's just very rare, and I guess it probably comes back to, like you just said, people experience it in Legion.
They do less damage. Well, it's that. Now, it's the feeling of it, but they do less damage than a rogue, and they have less utility than a rogue, and they're in the same armor class.
And it sounds weird to say that a class feels bad when all we're doing is pressing buttons on a keyboard. But
it's true.
But ultimately, what we mean by something feeling bad is how we feel after we press those buttons, because we're seeing visual feedback, we're hearing stuff from our headphones. If the sound effects are bad, and it looks like our character's not doing anything, or like there's a lot of things, because like Clark plays as Enhancement Shaman, and all that class wants to do is press one button. And like, we made a joke earlier about Beastmaster being boring because you press three buttons, which sounds a lot more interesting than pressing one button, but it's actually not, and we don't, like, it's like I said, the visual feedback, it feels good to press Storm Strike. Because you get that crunchy sound effect of the lightning smacking the enemy. Like, it just feels good. There's no other way to describe it.
Mm-hmm. Beastmaster
has none of that. Like, it. There's pretty much no animations, because...
You shoot a bow.
kill Command is your most... best ability. It's your most damaging ability. And all that is your pet biting something.
And it sounds like you pooped your pants and started running really fast.
Yeah, and... Like the other, but your next ability is Cobra Strike, which is just you shooting an arrow. That's it. That's your ability.
Yep.
It just doesn't have that super satisfying feel to it.
There's a real struggle to getting that. Because there are totally players who, maybe for that same reaction, you get people who will do things like farming transmog, which essentially means going back to get old pieces of gear because you think they look cool, and then changing your current gear's appearance to match that of it. So there is definitely this level of like fashion involved in the game too, which is kind of interesting. And I think that kind of goes hand in hand with these satisfying like damage rotations. Like the same people who like playing the same class, they don't necessarily care if their numbers get messed with if they have the same feel.
Yeah, like I saw a guy, he made Black Hand.
Mm-hmm.
Like he went back, he got all the gear, he looked exactly like Black Hand. It was insane, and he said he hated Arms Warrior, but he was playing Arms Warrior.
Yep.
Yeah,
there's totally lore heads too. Like there's so many people who play Paladin, for instance, because the legendary weapon they got has been talked about in the game since the game started. It's been a legendary weapon.
14.
Yeah.
14 years.
So to be able to get the Ashbringer as a player is like, that's the coming together of like a lot of lore success that Blizzard, to be fair, with as many balance changes as they mess up, they do a very good job with lore and storytelling, which if your exposure to the series has been the popularized mainstream Warcraft movie, I feel sorry for you.
Yes.
because they chose not a primary story that kind of happened at a similar time to tell, and it...
Dude, it should have just followed Danny Boy.
It's almost like, for a weird comparison, it's almost like someone was excited about seeing, like, a Christmas Story film about the birth of Jesus, and it was instead a movie about Moses.
Yeah.
Just some other guy from the Bible who wasn't the main dude.
It's actually a really good comparison.
Like, he still did some important stuff, and there's still some action, but not what I signed up for.
And it feels even worse when we go back to, like, the balance issues, because some people literally do play classes only because they like the lore. Like, so many people play Demon Hunters because they thought Illidan was the coolest coolest character ever. But, I mean, Demon Hunters aren't the best example, but, like, what about Rhett Paladin right now? How many Rhett Palais have we seen since the start of the expansion? I think I've seen 3.
The only reason you want a Rhett Palais, it has nothing to do with their damage, nothing to do with their utility. It's
blessings.
Just... Yeah, they give a couple of passive buffs. So, like, in a dungeon, not great. In a raid, you kind of want one of them, but it's like, if you don't have it, you live without it. It's not the end of the world.
And because of that, people who want to play it because they want to be a paladin and think that that is so cool just kind of get punished for liking something.
Mm-hmm. Which is the main problem with balance across every tier, for sure.
Yep.
How do you guys... So, to play devil's advocate a little bit, what do you guys suggest would be the... So, we look at competitive classes and balancing that with players' expectations of their favorite classes. How do you think Blizzard should take the responsibility of balancing classes when there's always going to be a top dog and there's always going to be a weakest link? What should their goals be to either make that less important or make every class feel good and not care about numbers? Where do you guys think their position should be?
I've been thinking about that for a while. It's like one of my favorite things to answer. I think the biggest problem with class balance in WoW is how long we wait between patches. Major content patches are also when the main balance updates come out. And unless something is, like, really far, like, one way or the other, good or bad, we don't get any hot fixes. Like, we don't get any changes unless they're fixing, like, game-breaking bugs. So I think one of the biggest things is they need to give smaller, more consistent patches instead of, like, every 11 weeks, which sounds like a lot of time to everybody else, but it's very short in terms of World of Warcraft. Just make it, like, put a balance patch in, like, every 3 to 4 weeks. Because I think if they just make small tweaks more consistently, they'll get a closer, like, a closer game, in all honesty.
Yeah, but I can agree with that. I mean, games like League of Legends, for instance, I know it's a different style game. It's a MOBA, not an MMO, but every week there's a patch with no, like, huge buffs and nerfs. But normally. Just, like, little, yeah, normally. But there's those little tweaks, like, just about every week for each class, and then it puts some on top, puts some down below. There's nothing that sits there. It's not like right now Feral Druid is just sitting at the bottom, and it's been sitting at the bottom for all of BFA, and it's just going to continue sitting there.
Well, they are getting buffed going into the next tier, but we will see. I mean,
but yeah, it took so long for them to get to that point, like Jig said. So, like, the smaller buffs and patches consistently would definitely help a lot.
And that also, it makes another problem where, because they have to wait so long between patches, if they under nerf something and it just stays strong, like, people get sick of that. Like, no one wanted to see an affliction, like, affliction lock was in every group at the end of Antorus. I would join a group and there were, like, 7 or 8 affliction locks because they were just good. And they kept nerfing them and they kept just not caring. They start over-nerfing, over-buffing, all that stuff, and then classes become really, really far one way or the other. Because, like, a good example is Fire, actually. So Fire has been receiving a lot of small buffs over the course of the expansion, like you were saying, and they're finally in a good spot. But imagine if, like, at the start of the expansion, they just said, like, oh, Fire's really underperforming, so let's increase their damage by 35%. And they just became, like, disgusting, right?
Yeah.
That's basically what I mean. They did that kind of stuff all the time.
Yep. And then, like you said, we'll be waiting months sometimes.
77 days.
Well, going back to it, there's those people that like to play something just for the lore. So, yeah, Affliction Lock is, like, the best right now. And there are people who still play it for just because they like the idea of an Affliction Lock. But now, if you completely gut that class and make it the worst, what do those players do? Because now they can't...
something.
Exactly. Like, they can't... they can't enjoy the game as much because you just can't do well.
Yep.
And it's not like, oh, well, it's only for this week and then they'll do some small nerfs or some small buffs and fix me. It's, I guess I have, you know, 2.5 months of just sitting here not playing the game and not having fun.
How do you guys feel about the fact that, and again, it's worth noting that because of how old World of Warcraft is, I'm sure a lot of people who, if someone's listened this far into this podcast, and they don't know much about the game, one of the things that you would consider is, how is this game maybe still making money? How are their resources still kind of going into it? One of the things you can do through Blizzard's, like, kind of web services, I guess, is pay to get a character, basically skipping all of the leveling content up until the current, like, the current expansion. So that,
because the game starts at the end,
yes,
of the game.
If you needed to have a class, like, let's say you're Mythic Raiding, so you're trying to play optimal classes, and suddenly those 77 days pass, and there's a new balance patch, and wow, look at that, Arcane Mage is super powerful. Okay, well, I was playing a Rogue, but they want me to reroll, so I need to boost a character. I'm going to spend $60 to get a character who is close to max level, so that I can save myself a ton of time and be able to play this new class in time for the new raid. Okay, great.
Well, like,
how much of that, how much of Blizzard lacking on these balanced patches do you think is because they're making money off of that?
Mm-hmm. I mean, looking at me specifically, I started this expansion, what, like 2.5 months ago. I started out playing my Hunter. About a week or two into the pack, I decided that Hunter wasn't too fun for me, so I played a Druid. Then our group needed a tank, and I started playing my Death Knight. Spent
don't
money,
you wanted
boosted
to play
it
a
up.
Tank.
And then, I mean, just I've skipped on let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 characters I have skipped just the leveling process because the beginning of the game isn't that great, and I can just skip to it and play that Flavor of the Month class instantly.
All of the balancing, all of the balancing and the class design and everything is pointed towards the end of the game. So doing the raid content, the Mythic Plus content, which you can't do when you're leveling.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the reason people do that.
I'm kind of weird on that whole thing because I feel like for that kind of stuff, I guess for like the smaller people who don't really, people who don't push Mythic Raid, Mythic World First, all that stuff, it doesn't really matter in all honesty, the long run. But people will still play the Flavor of the Month, like we said earlier. So the only people who they're really trying to catch with that, in my opinion, if they're trying to do that, is people who haven't been playing the game that long. Because if you play the game, you'll get bored of your main character eventually, and you'll level other characters. I have everything near max level. I don't have to pay for it anymore. So, like, the majority of players who are playing now, I think, have been playing for a while, in all honesty. They haven't really been trying to draw in new players that well. Mm-hmm. So I think if they're doing that, it's failing pretty spectacularly. I think if they were trying to do that, they'd be trying to bring new players in more often, because they said outright in Legion they didn't care about bringing new players, and they just wanted to keep the ones they had.
So you think it's definitely partially the cash cow that they're trying to just keep it afloat?
No, I actually think it's the opposite. I think, well, like I said, if they're trying to keep it afloat by prioritizing like boosts and stuff like that and trying to get the most money out of people, they'd be advertising harder to newer players and trying to make it more attractive.
Hmm. Okay.
Because most people who are playing now, I mean, look at me. I have 11 near max level characters and like 3 or 4 more that are like just under it.
That's true. A high percentage of players who have played for more than one expansion tend to have most, if not all. And again, I don't want to say everyone, but
if you look at any method raider, they have 7 characters maintained to a mythic rating level.
Yep.
And they have like so many classes just ready to go.
And we're talking about people who are like full-time World of Warcraft players. They're fully sponsored to just play the game.
Yeah.
So that's true. Like, it feels like we complained a lot about the game. Do you want to talk about, like, the positives about it real quick?
Yeah, I guess that's good. I think Mythic Plus is in a better place than it's ever been. In terms of, like, competitiveness, I guess. I think it's way more fun to push keys in Mythic Plus than it was in Legion, but I didn't really get a whole lot of chance to do it in Legion. But that was also an Affliction Warlock balance issue. We won't get into that. I think it's more balanced towards other classes now, because they're trying to do that with like enrages and a lot of CCs and changing up like, I guess, the type of enemies you're fighting, because there's a lot of elementals now. I think, in all honesty, like, I don't like Uldir, but I think the reorigination array was a really genius idea to try and like fill in the gaps of having low stats instead of an expansion. They kind of let you just pick whatever stat you wanted the most of, and you got more of it.
Yep. I agree with that.
What do you think, Justin? What do you like
personally
about the game?
I mean, as you said, I'm like, I just recently started actually playing the game. Overall, I'm having a lot of fun with it, playing new classes and just playing the game in general. I find BFA to be very fun, even with like some of the issues we talked about. But overall, like, Mythic Plus pushing is super, super fun for me. The raid isn't the greatest, but I don't know. It's a new experience for me, so I find it fun myself.
It's understandable.
What about you, Clark?
I think overall I'm optimistic. We've, in the past 2 expansions, the first raid tier always tends to be a bit of a disappointment. And that's something that can be surprisingly an optimistic thing. Going into the second one. As we said, one of the strengths of Blizzard is their affinity for lore and how their stories play out. So as we find out more about the characters we've been following for so long and see those who we're kind of invested in, like those change and who are our characters, how they change. I think there's a lot of things that outside of just what the current content is that are to be looked forward to. So that's kind of why I keep playing. That's kind of why I'm into the game.
Who's ready for N'Zoth?
Not an expansion about old gods.
Yeah, I think, like, it's probably, like, a, I guess, like, one of the crappier things to say, but, like, this is, like, the lowest point WoW's been in for 2 years. Because WoD was not... People didn't like WoD.
Legion was overall pretty strong.
Legion was a very good expansion, but it was more of, like, a WoW player's expansion. Like, if you liked WoW, you would like Legion, but if you weren't playing WoW, it wouldn't really entice you into it.
Lore-wise and gameplay-wise, I think.
Yes. I actually forgot my point. Oh, yeah. So it's the lowest point we've been in a while for WoW. And we kind of only have... For the most part, I don't think Blizzard's going to go down from here. Looks pretty good from the what we see now. So we can just look to the future, I guess.